Coming up on Path to Zero.
Over half of the energy that goes into an industrial process is usually wasted in the form of waste heat, so there's lots of potential out there.
Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Your host is Tucker Perkins, President and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Now, here's Tucker.
Hello, and thanks for listening. What if one of the answers to America's growing demand for electricity is energy we're already producing and simply throwing away? Janice Tran is the co-founder and CEO of Canon Energy, a company turning waste heat from industrial facilities into carbon-free electricity. Canon recently announced a first-of-a-kind project that will use waste heat from natural gas infrastructure to provide electricity for the University of Dayton. Janice, welcome to Path to Zero. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I'm very excited to share what we're working on at Canon Energy and to talk to you about it.
Well, I'm really glad that we're going to talk about something other than the Strait of Hormuz or data centers in general. So that's always a good start. But we are talking about the need for more electricity, maybe different kinds of electricity. So you've built a company just around the idea that one of the better places to find energy is in a place we're already wasting it. So how did you discover that opportunity?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I always like to start with this fun fact. Over half of the energy that goes into an industrial process is usually wasted in the form of waste heat. So there's lots of potential out there. So when you think about heavy industrial facilities like those associated with oil and gas production or transportation or natural gas processing, for example, refining. You also look at cement, steel. A lot of these, heavy industrial processes, they have waste heat. That's just a part of that process of making whatever product they're doing. And it's just kind of, vented into the atmosphere. And then you think on top of that, about a quarter of heavy industry is responsible for about a quarter of emissions, in the United States and in North America. There's a lot of potential to utilize that wasted energy and create clean electricity that's reliable, that's affordable, that's clean to, be a part of the power mix. So that's really what we're focused on here. And the company Canon Energy has been around for about 6 years now. So it's, time flies when you're having fun. We started in the depths of the pandemic. I don't want to take credit for coming up with the idea. My two co-founders did. And the genesis of Canon actually started in the geothermal industry. So my two co-founders, they are part of a geothermal company that was looking for heat and in the ground and creating electricity from it. But back in the day, geothermal wasn't as cool as it is today, no pun intended. But they, really realized that drilling in the ground for that heat had a lot of risk. And so rather than going into the ground, they said, what if we look above ground for that heat? We don't have to do any drilling. We create that electricity, and it could help with firming up and providing electricity for these industrial customers as well. And I was actually working in the Bay Area in San Francisco with an investment firm called Generate Capital. And I was investing in all kinds of organic waste projects and setting up, companies and projects that were, not waste heat, but another kind of waste and doing something meaningful with that as well. So they, one of my co-founders I went to college with, he reached out and said, "Hey, I've got this interesting idea. Do you want to join?" That's kind of how it all began.
That's wild. So it really wasn't a portfolio company you were looking to invest in. It was just, it came from a friend and a contact, and then you saw how good it could be.
Yeah, my time at Generate investing in the organic waste space, and it's funny because at that, back then they used to call me the queen of waste at some of these conferences I would go to, because the renewable natural gas and biogas was really early in those days. We're talking about 2015, 2016, not a lot of people were investing in it. And so our fund was really an early catalyst in that sector. And it was really fulfilling and intellectually interesting to see how does a nascent industry become one that is, growing and part of the mainstream calculus of energy production. And took a lot of what I learned at Generate in the biogas industry and really hope to replicate that in this waste heat power industry. So a lot of things like policy engagement, what we do at Canon is we focus on not the technology itself. We really focus on the business model and business innovation. And so when you look at industries like, say, solar or wind, a lot of those companies that were successful solar or wind companies didn't invent, the solar PV or the windmill and that technology. They're really developers. They took that technology and they created other kinds of business innovation, financing innovations to unlock it. We did a lot of that at Generate with the renewable natural gas and biogas industry. And that's the same kind of thing that we're doing at Canon Energy is we're taking existing technology, mainly organic Rankine cycle turbines, but other technologies as well that convert heat into power, and building a company that finances it, develops it for our industrial customers, operates, kind of takes all the friction away from adopting the technology, and then in the hopes that it will catalyze a new sector of energy.
You're bringing it all together in I guess maybe one of your first projects, right? University of Dayton. So tell us about kind of how you're doing it there.
Yeah, we're very excited about that project. So we officially announced its commercial operation a few weeks ago, but it's been in commissioning for a little bit. So we've been able to watch it operate, and it's kind of operating as we expect. Maybe just to back up. So what that project is that you're referencing is we're working with Tallgrass Energy. They're a midstream pipeline company in the United States. And they have, pipelines, and there's these things called compressor stations that really, push the gas through these large, pipelines. And the byproduct of that compression process is waste heat. And right now, again, it's just kind of vented into the atmosphere and there's nothing done with it. And so we are working with Tallgrass on four of their compressor stations. This Dayton project is one of them. And we're taking the waste heat from this compressor station. There's an existing exhaust. We move the exhaust into a new exhaust stack. We take a heat exchanger to capture that heat. Then that heat exchanger heats up a thermal oil. And then that thermal oil then heats up a fluid that vaporizes and condenses and dries the turbine. And then that electricity that's generated, so that whole thing is called an organic Rankine cycle turbine. And the power that's created is then sold to the University of Dayton. So there's not enough electricity demand at that compressor station for Tallgrass. They don't need it. So instead, we're selling it through the grid in Ohio to the University of Dayton. It's about an 11,000 student campus. And we're able to power the entire university campus with our electricity, saving them lots of money in the process, helping them to meet their green goals. We're reducing emissions by about 71% there. And it's a source of baseload energy. So they were looking to procure solar initially, and terms kept moving on them, and it wasn't saving them as much electricity and money as they were hoping for. And that's kind of where we came in. And it's also, I think on top of that, a really interesting opportunity for the students who are learning about electricity production. We host the students at our site to teach them about how this type of technology works. And so there's also kind of that giving back community as well. We're very happy.
So it's incredible that from the waste heat captured and efficiently converted to electricity, from that one compressor station, you're able to power the entire university.
Yeah, and that's the kind of opportunities that are all over North America and all over the world, really. It's a source of baseload clean power and quite affordable as well. And that there's no feedstock, there's no fuel for this type of technology. It's really like the wasted heat that's otherwise would have been created. So, yeah, we can hopefully see a lot more of those opportunities, in Canon's future.
Let's talk about another opportunity, because I think you just recently announced a project with Phillips 66.
Yep, that's right. Super excited about this this partnership as well. So we're working with Phillips 66. Our first project with them is on their Mewbourne facility up in Colorado. And what we're doing there is it's a 7-megawatt power plant that's taking the waste heat from their natural gas processing facility. And this plant is not connected to the grid. And so they currently self-generate their power using gas, using natural gas. So what we're doing is we're taking the waste heat from their existing process and creating the electricity, just similar to the technical process that I just described in the Tallgrass scenario. The only difference here is that we're not selling it to another partner. We're selling it back to Phillips 66 to displace the electricity they would have had to self-generate the natural gas. So we're saving a substantial amount of greenhouse gas reductions, as well as air pollutants as well. NOx and SOx through the combustion of natural gas is a thing, and Colorado is trying to monitor that. So we help them meet future compliance goals as well, both on air emissions and greenhouse gas emissions. And I think on top of this all, people really just want to do it to save money. So there's definitely a strong cost savings angle there, and that's a priority for Phillips 66.
Yeah, really interesting. And then you talk about this in most of your PRs being carbon-free electricity, I'm assuming, because it just comes from the waste heat. Has anybody challenged you on that, saying, hey, this heat's coming from natural gas, and therefore it's natural gas generated? Or are you able to convince most people that it truly is carbon-free?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do get these questions, especially from kind of the hardline environmentalists, that are you extending the life of these fossil fuel assets? My answer to that is there's a place for everyone in this energy transition story. And I also think that it's more than just about energy transition too. It's about reliability. It's about cost savings. But on the environmental front, the question, are we extending the life? And I would say, the amount of revenue that, our, call it 10-megawatt power plant creates is the same as maybe a few hours or a day of revenue of that, natural gas processing facility, or the amount of revenue and natural gas that's flowing through that compressor station. And so, no, like our thing is really about efficiency. It's using what's already wasted and doing something better with it. It's not enough kind of juice to really extend the life of any of these kind of pieces of infrastructure. A multi-billion dollar steel plant is not going to stay open because it's creating a few million dollars of energy savings. So it's not a silver bullet, but it does make a difference in the grand scheme.
Absolutely, it makes a difference. And I think I was waiting for you to say it, but clearly you're taking a waste product. In this case, the waste is heat, but something that otherwise would have just gone away, and you seem to be very efficiently converting it to energy. So, I think it's brilliant, and it is easily carbon free, right? I mean, particularly because you're replacing something else. It makes a lot of sense.
It's carbon free in the sense that there's no fuel combustion associated with it. The fuel or heat has already been created, and then we're taking the wasted heat from the outcome. So you're not burning more natural gas, or you're not compressing more natural gas to create the electricity through your wasted power plant. So the fact that when you look at the greenhouse gas emissions and the boundary and the emissions from within that boundary, it doesn't change before or after our plant comes into place. It stays the exact same. And we often see that in places where our plants are, which is like heavy industrial centers and cores, the electricity emission profile is quite dirty. There's a lot of coal plants, for example, in Ohio, you know, Colorado does have a lot of natural gas power that's, you know, in the grid. And then in the case of Phillips 66, they were self-generating using natural gas combustion. And so it's this really great kind of matching where your grids are the most dirtiest happen to be where these industrial sites are, which also happens to be where the opportunity is.
It sounds almost like it's doesn't have any negative consequences, but there, I mean, everything has. So to an operator like Phillips, or to you, I think you said Expand Energy maybe is your other one. What is something you have to be careful about to design a way for them to not impede their operation? Is there anything? Is it just the additional equipment around their compressors?
You're right. The technology itself is not something that's like, you know, set it and forget it. It does require active operations. That being said, it's not as complex as, say, a cogeneration plant. It doesn't require, you know, active operations and management every single day. Most of it is remotely monitored with kind of daily checks by whoever is there at the facility already. So we rely heavily on the existing facility staff and then with the remote monitoring. You know, that one of the things that has held this industry back is that it's not a simple energy efficiency play. This is really still a power plant, and it requires, you know, tens of millions of dollars to put these projects up. And what the industry has faced before is the equipment suppliers were mostly the ones running this industry. You know, they wanted to sell their organic Rankine cycle turbines, their equipment, but they didn't have the expertise to, say, finance the projects, operate the projects, do the design and construction. There's a lot of tax credits that enable this type of technology, just like they do for, you know, wind and solar and geothermal and others. So this understanding of tax credits and financing is really important. You know, all they want to do is just sell their equipment. And so there wasn't this developer kind of framework, developer ecosystem that was created to actually implement this technology. And that's what we're trying to do with Canon, is that these are not simple projects to put in place. They're not difficult ones, but it's not like changing a pump, you know? So what we do is we come in, we provide the financing if it's required. In Phillips 66, for example, providing all the financing and selling back the power purchase agreement. In the Tallgrass example, we're a development partner. So Tallgrass owns the project. We're supporting on operations and all of development and the tax credits and things like that. So it really kind of comes down to, what does the customer need help with? Is it financing? Is it development? Is it operations? Is it just one of those things, or is it all of those things? And then we package a solution to, you know, at the end of the day, we just want to implement more of this technology.
How about scaling it? How do you feel about scaling it? I know we talked about Phillips 66 and Expand compressor stations and energy. Where do you see other places where there's a lot of heat that's not being captured?
Yeah, so lots and lots of opportunities. So you're thinking anything that has, you know, waste heat as a byproduct of that process. So again, you're thinking, you know, anything in the oil and gas sector typically has this. So think refining, think natural gas processing, think, you know, pipelines. There's you know, anything in steel and cement will have that. Anything with the boilers or kilns, furnaces, you know, that kind of thing will have this waste heat. We also have expanded recently, not just to do waste heat power, but also do combined heat and power projects. So that has opened our possibilities. So working with partners, especially those in like light industrial, seeing a lot of interest from chemicals in this space, actually, where they have a need. So they don't have waste heat per se, or maybe they do have a little bit, but they have a need for power and they have a need for heat and they have access to low cost natural gas. And so that's a perfect opportunity to combine heat and power there. But yeah, I mean, like in terms of scaling, lots of opportunity for waste heat to power. So there's well over 10,000 industrial plants in the U.S. alone, with some potential for waste heat. You know, estimates are somewhere around 15 gigawatts of electricity potential across North America. And so for context, that would be, you know, powering New York City continuously on this waste heat 24/7. That's the amount of power that we create on this. That's currently not being generated.
It's awesome. Tell me the number again. I want to make sure I heard that number. How many do you think the available would be? How many gigawatts?
Yeah, the available amount of power from waste heat is 15 gigawatts in North America.
Yeah.
And we estimate that over 10,000 industrial plants in the U.S. alone have access to wasted heat that could be utilized for this electricity.
Yeah, interesting. And so you're not really in the data center conversation specifically, but you're certainly in that power conversation as we think about how to get new and cleaner forms of power, maybe even affordable power, right? That power becomes very inexpensive. It's almost relative just to the cost of capital, right? Yeah, really, really interesting. You looked at a lot of... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I think on that piece, affordability, like at the end of the day, right now, that's really what matters. And so I think the green piece is, you know, it is what it is. And but I think what is really impacting the buying decision is that we're seeing power prices rise, you know, sometimes double, triple the amount over the last several years. And when we think about these industrial facilities that operate on very thin margins, that kind of operating cost is a really big, you know, it's scary for them. And so they're trying to find ways right now to mitigate that. Just even with the University of Dayton project, we saw this past summer a heat wave hit Ohio and power prices were astronomical. And we were able to help the university save something like three times what they normally would have been paying to the grid in those during that heat wave. So it definitely has the potential to hedge your electricity costs because you're independent from fluctuations in natural gas or, you know, other market forces. You're really just using your waste heat. So the economic driver is still the largest driver for this technology.
Yeah, absolutely. You looked at a lot of companies in your time as a, you know, generate capital. This is the one you decided to leave that business and go to this. What did you see about it? In fact, I think your quote was, Canon is the company you always wanted to invest in. What is it you saw about this opportunity that was perhaps unlike the many other opportunities you've been looking at for generate capital?
Yeah, no, for sure. I like to go back, you know, when I was 19 years old and I was sitting in a business ethics class. I did two majors. I did a philosophy major and an accounting major. And I was sitting in this business ethics class, and I remember, you know, hearing about climate change, and it's something that, you know, really moved me back in the day. And I remember making a promise to myself, again, 19 years old, kind of naive 19-year-old, saying, when I am on my deathbed, I want to be able to look myself in the mirror and say, I did everything I could to, you know, combat climate in my way possible. And I didn't want to cheat myself. And so that kind of promise to myself when I was 19 has really guided every single career decision that I've ever made in my life. So never, you know, thought to be the CEO of a company or an investor. It was really like what next thing or what opportunity is available in front of me that could be really impactful for this journey. And when I was at Generate Capital, I learned so much about how to catalyze new sectors. And I took a really strong liking to these like unsexy sectors, you know, waste. It's things that people don't really think about. It's garbage. It's industrial processes. When people think about green energy, people, usually think about electric vehicles, they think about solar, they think about wind. And so there's all these other opportunities that don't get the light of day for whatever reason, but from a fundamental economic perspective, make a lot of sense. And so that was the same case with biogas and renewable natural gas, and the same here with waste heat and industrial efficiency. And so I loved my time at Generate Capital, and I still think about that, you know, as being part of that family. It was a very foundational kind of learning experience for me. But when the opportunity about, you know, doing something in this industrial sector, I jumped at it because of that promise to myself when I was 19. And I just don't see a lot of people really focusing on it. And when you think about heavy industrial facilities contributing about a quarter of the emissions in North America, there's a lot of work to still be done. And when you kind of go down into the weeds and you say, okay, well, the technology exists, but it's not getting done. Why? And you kind of peel the layers of the onion. That's really what Canon is on a past waste heat to power is really here to solve and help. Is that there's lots of technologies, there's lots of opportunities there to help these industrial facilities where they're not set up to fund these things because they're you know, shipping natural gas, they're making steel. They're not here trying to figure out nuanced policy mechanisms and tax credits and power markets and power forecasts. You know, they don't necessarily have the bandwidth, they don't have the capital, they don't have just the resources or even the technical knowledge or just overall knowledge to address these opportunities within their you know, facilities. That's where we come in, and we're there to reduce the amount of friction to implementation.
And is that the secret sauce of Canon? Because I'd say capturing waste heat, converting it to power, something at least we've known for 100 years we should be doing, could be doing, but you've turned it into a business that not many other people have. So is it that total picture, thinking about tax credits and policy and the best portfolio companies for you? Is that the secret sauce, or is there also a technology edge for you?
Yeah, good question. I remember, you know, early days of Canon, we would be pitching a lot of venture capital investors. And they would say, hey, what's your secret sauce? What's your IP? And we say, you know, we're intentionally not creating a technology. And that would churn off, you know, 99% of VCs. Luckily, a few investors did stick with us and invested
in. That's not exactly what they wanted to hear, is it?
It's definitely not what their thesis is. But, you know, we're specifically not owning a technology. Because we don't think that the problem is technology in our field. We think the problem is actually implementation. And there are lots of technologies available to industrial facilities that unlock energy savings, green energy generation, reliability, et cetera. It's really an implementation, innovation, implementation story that needs to be solved. And that's why when I go to these VCs, one of the first things I say is like, hey, we don't have a technology. You have to really understand the problem that we're solving and believe that we have a solution. I think a lot of VCs now understand what a developer does, but certainly in the beginning of Canon, there was this understanding. And even to our industrial customers, we often have to explain what a developer does. And then give them the menu of technologies. And one of the first questions they always ask is, well, why wouldn't I do it myself? And it's like, you know what? You could do it yourself. There's nothing stopping you from doing it yourself. But why haven't you done it already? And then that kind of opens up, okay, well, you know, what are the returns? We need 24-month paybacks. Okay, well, this is not going to give you a 24-month payback. This is more like a 5 to 7 year payback. You know, or they say, oh, I just didn't have enough time to look at it. It's like, okay, well, will you ever get the team of like 20 people to go and like do this? We always get the question, why wouldn't I do it myself? They may have often looked at doing it themselves and had, you know, ran into walls. Again, and that's where Canon comes in and why we're seeing a lot of success in the marketplace.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great quote. It's not technology constrained at all. It's much bigger than that. It's brilliant. All right, let's have a little fun. We'd like to have a couple traditions here. One is the magic wand, right? In just a moment, I'll hand you a magic wand that you can use one time in the next 1 year that would make the biggest difference, you think, in this energy conversation. Janice, how would you use it?
I love this question. I wish I had a magic wand and use it all the time. I think the thing I would focus on is interconnection. The grid and the interconnection queues in the United States are just insane right now. And while a lot of our projects are behind the meter, so we don't have to deal with it, some of our projects are sending through the grid to an off-taker, a power off-taker. And it's just wild how long you have to wait. You know, our projects are small, so they're not really impacting the grid that much. But because of the way that these processes are, you still have to wait several years to get even the answer that you need to build. So that would be, you know, my wand. And then also I know that lots of other people share that too. So I think it'd be a very popular wand in the power space.
It's a great use of it. And, you know, it's interesting. While I do think nationally we talk about it more and are perhaps more aware of it, I don't really see any real progress being made right now. It's just that maybe the talking will lead to progress, but clearly the interconnects are a huge problem and not a lot of benefit right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, the problem with dealing with FERC or dealing with these, you know, interconnection utility organizations is that they're just inherently slow. They just don't move fast. Which, you know, in the grander scheme of things, makes sense, because if you don't go through, you know, multiple layers of processes and, you know, checking your work, the grid might fail. And that could lead to lies, right? So I understand why it's a very careful and slow moving industry, but times are changing and it does require innovation. So this is kind of the friction point. I think that, you know, you're seeing some new FERC orders come out from the administration, and because of data centers and just like the profit motive tied to that, there is a lot of like innovation and movement happening. But yeah, let's see. This is why you're seeing a lot of projects just being built behind the meter. And that's not
interesting. I mean, all right.
It's pros and cons.
Yeah, for sure. We have our national forest discussion, and I'm always thinking, I know today you're in Calgary, you live in Houston, you lived in the Bay Area, you've been in Southern California. We'd love to thank you for the time and the expertise by planting a tree in a national forest in your honor. Is there a specific place that comes to mind as we think about doing that?
This is super cool. I love that you do this. And I had to think about this because there's a lot of national forests. I love to hike and I've been to a lot of national forests. But I'd have to say that, you know, my time living in San Francisco, I go to Muir Woods quite often. And let's plant there. That'd be fun. This is kind of an ode to where my journey in waste started.
Yeah, awesome. Been to Muir Woods myself many times, being a fan of John Muir. So that's a great place. And producer Russ loves nothing more than an excuse to think or go to California anytime he can. So thanks for that. That's a great. Before we let you go, what else do we want to tell us about yourself or Canon, maybe how to learn more or what we should be watching for over the next 6 months or so?
Yeah. So we've been expanding our scope of offerings. Again, it goes back to we're not just a waste heat to power company. We're really an industrial development company for power for industrial sites. So we're offering combined heat and power, projects and services there. So if there's a need for reliable, affordable electricity, you have a source of natural gas, and you also have a need for heat, this is a great alternative for low cost and low emission power. We're also doing stuff with data centers as well. So we have a network of data center developers and off-takers. And because we're heavily connected with industrial facilities, we can look at that site and see if there's opportunities to, you know, physically build a data center, if there's like underutilized land, for example, to build on, or if there's excess grid connection that we potentially leverage and then build on top of. There's lots of those opportunities too. And we're always looking for new opportunities. So if there's an industrial efficiency project that you're looking to get funded or to have developed because, you know, you don't have the bandwidth to do, then I'd say, you know, give us a call. We'd love to look at it. And again, we're not technology dependent. We can work with lots of different technologies here. We're just really looking for it.
Sounds like an exciting future ahead, and certainly one that we don't talk much about in this energy transformation, right? We don't talk a lot about waste to heat. So really exciting. I would encourage everyone to follow Canon Energy. And Janice, thank you so much for being with us today on Path to Zero.
Thank you so much. It was lovely to be here.
Thanks to all of you for listening to Path to Zero. Be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or Substack. And let us know who you'd like to hear from and what topics you'd like us to tackle next. We'll see you next time on Path to Zero.